Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
That night, Lord Jesus, as he shared together on Passover, he'd gone through many struggles. And as he approached through those many struggles, he shared with his disciples. But it's interesting on that period of time that after the Lord Jesus had gone through terrible times with those people who surrounded him, he took his disciples and they gathered around. They went to the temple, which was their normal custom. And as they went to the temple, they began to look. And Jesus got real close to the treasury. And as he got real close to the treasury on this beautiful temple, I guess you'd almost have to see it was Herod's temple. It is said that when the sun shone down and the sunlight hit the silver that was in the bricks and the gold, that it was like it was a massive sparkle. It was something of great beauty. And it was in that period of time of great beauty, they had what was known as the court of the women. Inside of the court of the women, they had 13 areas, something like 13 trumpets, in which people would take and they would give their money. Well, Jesus got real close. Scripture says in Mark, and we're going to be reading this in Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. In fact, let's hear the account of this coming from the Word this morning. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow who came in threw in 2 mites, which made a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. But in all that she had, her whole life. It's kind of amazing to me that this poor widow is somebody that's so special that she brings to light 2,000 years later, we're still recounting the story of this poor widow who gave it all. Well, we're in the course of a stewardship study. About every 5 years, we go through this series. And so this is in this period of time in which we're studying about stewardship, many beautiful things have come to light. Things that I had either forgotten, didn't know, or the Holy Spirit said, Robert, it's time for you to listen up. And so it's in this spirit of, we're going to be talking about the motivation. What motivated that widow to come to give all that she had and give it unto the Lord there at Herod's temple, giving it unto God? What motivated her? There are many kind of motivations. The story is told about a circus that a strong man particularly, he came to this in the circus and he'd get this orange. And he'd take that orange and with this sheer strength, that sheer strength, he'd take that orange and he'd mash it all together till he got every drop out of that orange. And then after he got every drop out of that orange, he'd look around people and said, okay, I challenge any man who will come up here and get one more drop out of the orange. Well, men, great men would go up and great men would try. And they couldn't get not one drop out of that. But one day, this little bitty skinny guy went up and said, hey, look, I want to try it. And so this little bitty skinny guy took it and he grabbed it. And with every bit of strength this little skinny guy had, he squeezed and he squeezed till finally, to the amazement of the crowd, one little drop fell out. And the people were just amazed. Said, how did you do this? And this guy said, oh, it's easy. He says, I'm the treasurer from the local Baptist church down the street, and I know how to squeeze the stuff out of folks. So, and so, you know, maybe we kind of learn from that. Sometimes, you know, God has to do some strange things too. I think sometimes He has to squeeze the praise, squeeze the time, squeeze the service. He has to squeeze something out of us. Well, in reality, it's a matter of the heart. And so now as we see that about 20% of the verses in the New Testament, Jesus related to money. And you say, why? Why did He do that? He says, because money's an indicator. Jesus knew that many times that money, that men won't give up money. They'll give up their wife before they give up their money. You know, it's an indicator. Hey, y'all have any of these dummy lights in your car? I call them dummy lights. They're indicator lights. In fact, you can't imagine this, but my Dodge truck has one. In my Dodge truck, it has this indicator light that when I start getting low on gas, all of a sudden it'll go, dong, and this little light shines out there. And what does that light do? That light indicates that you got another problem that's coming up, that you need to address it. Address it. You ever run low on fluid in your radiator? All of a sudden it goes, bleak. And it just starts, it just grabs your attention. What does it do? It tells you that there's an indicator. There's an indicator problem. Well, what the Lord Jesus did on a multitude of occasions, He uses indicators so that He might look in inside of us. And we recognize that one out of every six verses that He would bring to light. And so Jesus uses this as an indicator. Well, what are we looking at? We're going to be looking at an indicator of Jesus, and it was on this end of time, right before He would go to the cross, and He was in there in the temple, He was watching things, but He was observing. The observation here, I want to pick up on this, that God has a place for people to physically help others and show how they honor Him. God has a special place, and that special place is called the church. And so it's a place that people can bring and express their devotion to God. Did y'all hear the announcements this morning in which Brother Jim brought out two different occasions? One of a young lady who needed, because she was going to be having a baby, and one of of our young ladies is concerned that this lady has the necessary needs. And then you heard about another family that was burned out. You know what the church ought to be? The church ought to be the resource for people to have their needs met. And so therefore we recognize this. So let the church stand up. In fact, if you really go to it, the welfare system didn't have to come in existence if the churches would have done what the churches should do. And that is to take care of the families and the people who are attending. If the churches would stand up and reach that and touch that, then we would not have had these significant things. So what the Bible teaches us, God says, hey, look, here's a treasury. The Scripture says in verse 41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury. What was Jesus doing? He was observing. He was looking at the gifts that they were doing. He was observing the people and the motivations and all that was happening to them. You see, treasures, something very tangible that you can reach in and you touch. Because Jesus, not only did He look at there at the treasury, but Jesus observed how the people gave. The Scripture says, and saw how the people put the money in the treasure. Jesus watched the love of the people. It was the devotion. Jesus saw through the gift, and He saw the heart, the motivation of the heart, the desire for their journey to be a desire for God. You know what? I stay away from the subject of giving so much of the time. But God has taught me something during this period of time. God has taught me that He wants the windows of heaven open for each of us. He told me out of His Word that He wants us to have this devotion with God that's so rich, it's so deep, that there's no other way for us to communicate it. You want to say, God, I give You my life, I surrender You my all. Reminds me, a few months ago I was reading of in China about an underground church, a church that was going through much suffering. And at the church, they said one of the favorite times that they had in the church is when they would take up an offering, when they would send off a missionary to this village or to that village. And they would take up these poor peasants who didn't have hardly anything. But they rejoiced. They got excited and clapping and got so excited when they took up the offering for these missionaries, for to send out one of their own to another village. And they started passing it. And sometimes it would come across a person who didn't have any money. So they would take the bag in which it was being passed down, and they would literally get inside of the bag. They wanted to give something to God. They first gave themselves. God gives us this opportunity. He opens it up. And Jesus observed how the people put the money. And the Scripture says, and many who were rich put in much. Many in the church were giving much. Hey, look, the blessings of God were so abounding that God gave breath for people to breathe. God gave a mind for people to work. God gave a way for them to achieve. God gave them something to accomplish. And out of what God gave them, these rich people were giving to God through the church. It's so neat that they understood that what God had given them, they were giving a portion of this because they knew something. They knew the blessings of the Lord would be shared through the channel of the church. Now, what did they do with these 13 trumpets? One, they paid for the priest. The ministry, they would pay and support the priest. Two, the poor would receive money from the church. Those who needed sustenance. Not those who needed money to buy more drugs. Not those who needed money to go play the lottery game. Not those who needed money to go down to Philadelphia. Not those who needed money just to drive around and burn it up. No! It was the poor who needed food. And they needed clothing. So therefore, it was through the church. It was through the temple there that the poor would receive help. And it was also that the widows and the orphans would receive food. It was through there. And it was through the church that the Gentiles would receive necessary resources. What? God proclaimed, established the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet the needs of the poor, the orphans, the widows, the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, praying, paying for ministers to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and for foreigners, people coming from near and afar, when they needed help, it was the church. Boy, the Holy Spirit knocked me down this morning. Took me back to Stark, Florida one morning. Studying there in this little house that was the office area, Stark, Florida, where I pastored for 7 years. And one day I looked out and here come a whole, man, it looked like a whole drove of people. They were walking. And they came up and they said, "Hey, we'd like some money to buy some food and things." And I looked at that drove and I had not been given any kind of resource to do this from the church. And I said, "I'm sorry that you know, I don't have anything for you." And that man cussed me out. He did. He cussed me out. He said, "My father told me, he says, look, that when you get down, when you get in need, if you go to the church, you'll get help." And I didn't help him. And he went on his way. And I thought much about it. And now here, 20 years later, I had to pray for forgiveness because the church didn't help this drove of people who were coming through who needed food. They needed what was real, what was tangible. Even so much that our church, if we're going to do what life is all about, we've got to refocus on the things that really matter. We need to take care of the ministers of the church. We need to take care of the poor of the community. We need to take care of the widows. We need to take care of the orphans. We need to take care of the foreigners that are in our land who need the support of the church. God provided a way. And Jesus took notice of this. As he looked here, the gifts that were given there, they found out, and there was something that was common right here. And the commonness was these rich people were bringing of their wealth. Oh, look at it. It was intimate from the Lord. He observed them. He watched how the people were giving. He was close enough so that he saw what was going on. And when they put the money into the trumpets, he could hear the jingle. He could hear it go down. He knew what they were doing as they were passing. And the plate of so beautiful there. And the rich people were coming and they were giving. But through this, all of a sudden, something beautiful arose right here. He notices this widow. She eases up. Her husband's dead. She has no job. She has no source of income. She's poor. Everything that she has to herself was 2 leptas. 2 leptas. 2 leptas, if you carry it all the way through, would be less than a penny. Maybe even somewhat 2/8 of a penny. Less than a penny. For our sake today, we will say she gave less than a penny. Jesus was close enough. He was watching what was happening there. And all of a sudden, the indicator light started flashing. Jesus saw this woman, and Jesus got so excited. He said, "Hey guys, come here." John was over there just sitting and talking to a group of Peter. Simon Peter was over there. He was talking, and some of these guys, these fishermen, were just sitting together, and they were talking about politics. They were talking about the things that were going on. But Jesus got so excited. He said, "Come here." Verse 42. Then one poor widow came. Here's the object of the lesson. Jesus is moved by people with a pure heart. He's moved. The material condition of the giver is the base for honor. Whatever God has given you, that is the base from which we can honor Him. And through this, she would show her devotion to God. Through this, it was like the heat coming down in this day, but all of a sudden, a shooting star just fell into the court of the women. It was kind of like in the garden, all of a sudden the first rose put on its bloom and the fragrance, showing her devotion. Because you see, giving is not limited to the rich. Giving was coming from the poverty. The amount of the giver is a personal act. And this widow appeared to bless God. This widow joined ranks with those who sought to bless God. This widow helped to feed the priests and the widows and the orphans and to provide the needs for people of other nationalities. This widow, all of a sudden, became a teachable moment. Verse 43. So He called His disciples to Himself and said, oh, listen, this is a reproducible moment. And now all of a sudden, He looked down at her and He saw these people and He saw what they were given and He called His disciples together and He said, I want you to see something, guys. This is big. In verse 43, so He called His disciples to Himself and said to them, as surely as I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who've given to the treasury. Oh, the objective. It's timeless. Jesus looks at the heart and He sees. And then something that really just shook my train right here. Jesus places the value on the gift. Jesus does that. Not man. Value is a matter of the heart, not the size of the gift. Jesus said, as surely I say unto you, who is making this observation? The Creator of the universe. The Savior of the world. The Master of the universe. And now some 2,000 years later, His judgment stood strong. His judgment stood loud. And Jesus said, value. Value is what Jesus places on this. He said, this poor widow has put in more. Now, I know some of you accountants said, how does less than a penny equal all of the dollars? Well, in your accounting system, it doesn't. But as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, value is placed upon what we put value on. Jesus taught that this value is derived from the motivation. Because He said, all of those given to the treasury, Jesus looks, He teaches us that He looks at the percent and not the amount. All of this is a matter of the value. Oh, I can remember when I was back in Stark, had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land. This was big, man. Back in the 80s, first time to go to the Holy Land. I got so excited. And some of the church said, look, we want to help give you some money to help you go on that trip to the Holy Land. Well, you know what? I was thankful. But the thing that got me was there was this one single adult lady who had a couple of kids and who had just a menial job. This lady came up and she gave me $50. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but $50 in the 80s, that was big. And so, therefore, she got, and in my mind, I said, man, I don't need to take this. She needs this far more than I do to feed her kids. But she wanted to bless me. She wanted to bless God by blessing me. And so, therefore, the greatest gift came from one you wouldn't expect. That's what happened with Jesus. I know it to be real. Jesus places the value because Jesus said the value is a matter of principle. He says in verse 44, He says, for they all put out of their abundance. But this poor widow, she gave out of her poverty. The rich gave out of the overflow, but the widow gave all that she had. Now, when you look at these two words in the Greek, when it said, and the rich had given, it was given out of their abundance, meaning out of the overflow, meaning there was more to come. When she gave her money, though, it was out of her poverty, meaning that was it. Total destitution. No more. When the rich gave their money, they would turn and they would go to McDonald's and buy them a Big Mac. But when the widow gave her money, she had nothing. She could go nowhere to get a meal because she had absolutely nothing. The widow showed her total devotion to God, her dependence upon God, that when she surrendered this, she gave it all. Hey, but think about this. This widow, did she have to do that? Man, could you just think of some of the excuses? In fact, if I'd go around the room, I'd say, why do you think that this woman ought not give? And the first one would say, well, economically. She had an economic excuse. All she had was a penny, two lepta. That's all she had. She shouldn't give that money. She ought to keep it for her own existence. Oh, economically, she shouldn't do that. Oh, you might say, she had a religious reason. Because she knew those guys in the church. There was a bunch of crooks there. How do you know there was a bunch of crooks in the church? Because Jesus said in Mark 12:38, and He said, beware the scribes which loved to go in long clothing and loved the salutations in the marketplaces. He says, beware of them. Because they have their synagogues, they have their places of honor, and they devour the houses of the widows, and they give this big appearance of long prayers, but they're going to receive the greater condemnation. So, therefore, if there was any a church that you should never give to because of the corruption in the church, it was the church of Jerusalem. And you said, whoa, she shouldn't give it. There's a bunch of crooks there. And you have been right. But you know what she did? She gave it. Or you might have said, wait, there's another reason. She had a motivational reason. And that motivational reason was all she had was less than a penny. And if she gives that penny, who's going to care? Who's going to miss it if she don't? Nobody's going to know. That church with the gold just surrounding them. The silver that was sparkling in this magnificent, beautiful place. They didn't need this. But you know what? She had a desperate need for God. She had a high view of God. She knew that what she was doing was not about people. What she was doing was about God. She understood it. She saw it. And all of a sudden, she recognized this. And so therefore, when we begin to understand this, we don't need to be like the little girl. Hey, one time as a little girl, Mama gave her $2 and said, what I want you to do now, you go give Sunday school $1, you give God $1, the church, and then you take the second dollar and you said, you go out and buy you something. Boy, she got so excited. Man, she took off to church. She had those $2 bills in her hand, and all of a sudden she hit something, she tripped, and her hand flew open, and the wind blew. But real quickly she thought, and she reached out there and she grabbed and she caught one of the dollars. And she said, whew, God, you can go get yours now. You know, I sometimes wonder if that's really the way that it is that we begin to think about this. You know, sometimes we wonder about commitments. J.D. Rockefeller, who was a personal friend of Dr. George W. Truett in Dallas, Texas, many years ago. He was the wealthy. I mean, he had it all, but he also had a magnificent giving heart. J.D. Rockefeller one time said, "Do you know, if I had not tithed the first little salary I made, I would not have been able to tithe the millions and millions of dollars that I make today." He understood that. One woman came into this great inheritance, and she told somebody with her, "Quickly, give me my checkbook so I can write out the tithe, because I might become greedy a little bit later." Quickly. One woman, when she filled out a pledge card for the church, she started looking at the amount, for that annual amount, and she said to herself, "My goodness, think of all of the clothes that I could buy. Think of all the jewelry that I could wear. Think of all these things that I could do with this amount of money." So unconsciously she said to her husband, "Hey husband, don't you think that we're losing out by giving to the church? Don't you think we lost a lot?" And her husband said to you, "Yes, you're right. We have lost." He said, "Before I was converted, I was a drunkard in the gutter, and we've lost all of that. Now I walk in sobriety and in dignity." He said, "Before I was converted, I was a beast, a slave of evil, more like an animal than a man, and we've lost all of that. Now I try to be good to you and the children." And he said, "Dear wife, before I was converted, we lived in a hovel of one room and the bed was on the floor, but we've lost all of that. Now we have this pretty little cottage and it's our home." He said, "Dear wife, before I was converted, I never had clothes to wear and you were dressed in rags, and we've lost all of that. Now we're able to buy pretty clothes and to wear them in beauty before people." And he went on to say, and then all of a sudden she jumped in and said, "Dear husband, God forgive me. Husband, forgive me. God, forgive me, for I've been selfish and ungrateful." You see, yeah, they lost a lot. What did they lose? Some of the conclusive thoughts. When I get to heaven, I don't want to say, "Lord, where are all the rich people?" Lord, but when I get to heaven, you know one that I want to look up? I want to find that one little woman who gave it all. That's who I want to see when I get to heaven. That's who is before me. Because there's so much in which God has done for us. So what can we do today? In conclusion, what can we do today? One, I will recognize the place that God has provided for me to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I will recognize it because this is the church. So at the church, I am going to show my devotion to God, and I'm going to have a mindset that what I give to God. I don't give to man. I don't give to crooks. I don't give to anything else. What I give to God. Secondly, I will offer my gifts from a pure heart, without focusing on how it's to be used. I'm going to focus because I want my devotion to God. And what's important to me is my devotion to God and not how that dollar with dead presidents on it is going to be used. I want my devotion to God. Number three, I will live with the principle of depending on God for my next meal and use my resources to help others experience their next meal. Did you get that? I will live depending on God for my next meal. And I will live with the spirit in the heart of mine to help another person find their next meal. I will use my resources for feeding the hungry, spiritual and physical, providing for the thirsty, physical and spiritual, helping strangers, neighbors and foreigners, helping people with basic needs like clothing, going to those who are sick, physically and spiritually, with the purpose of helping, and going to those who are in condition of confinement as prison and spiritual bondage, and I will go to them with encouragement. Yes, I will go. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of glory and all the nations gather before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on the right hand, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me." I will use My resources for Him and for His honor and for His glory. I will use My riches to honor God. I will use My poverty to show My devotion to God. I will do this. In riches, I will honor Him. In poverty, I will show My devotion. And I will teach spiritual principles to family, friends, just as the Lord Jesus taught. I will do that. And then we will be like what happened in the city of Zarephath. A famine occurred. People were hungry, starving to death. Poor widow with a child. They had their last meal. They were going to eat the meal and they were going to die. Elijah comes along and says, "Feed me the meal." The woman said, "This is the last meal. Eat. We're going to eat it. I'm going to cook it for my son and then we're going to eat it, we're going to die." And He said, "Feed me first." The woman took Him at His word. She prepared the last meal. She fed the prophet. And her and her son sat to the side, ready to die. But rather than that, every time she reached down into the barrel where the meal was, more meal came up. And her son ate. And the next day, they reached into the barrel and the meal came up. And the next day, they reached into the barrel and the meal came up. Meal continued to come out of that barrel until God sent the rain and an alternative source of food would come. But she gave it all and God provided. 2,000 years ago, a widow took her two leptas and put them in the church. She walked away depending on God and praising Him. God sent the trees, and the trees give a place for the birds to light. God sent the sun and the sun gives light. God sent the moon and the moon gives light in the night. God sent the animals and the animals gives us food and clothing. And God sent man and he. Let's pray. Father, thank You for that widow who gave it all. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for watching. And Father, we know that the Lord Jesus is watching even as we give. He sees our heart. He sees our motivation. He sees our devotion to God. He sees our high view of God. He sees, oh God, You're right here with us. And so, Lord, I pray that the lives of the people, Lord, will just bring You honor and glory. And with the indicators that You give to us, Lord, let us feed the hungry. Let us feed the foreigner. Let us feed the orphans and the poor. God, let this church become a lighthouse in helping people in their need. And God, raise up men and women to spread the gospel out of this place. Oh, Lord. Do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, it's giving the heart to Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. And maybe there's a family this morning that says, we want to give our life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's a young man, or maybe there's a young woman that says, I want to give my heart today to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be there with Jesus. I want to walk with Him. I want to have a high image of God. I want to have a high devotion to God. I want to give my all my life to Him. And today you want to give your life to Jesus. We celebrated the Lord's Supper in which the body of Christ was broken and the blood was shed so that you might have life. Oh, He's given that for you this day. What will you give Him? What will you give Him? In China, a man put himself in the bag, signifying, I give God all. What will you give Him today? What will you do? As Jesus Christ speaks, as the Holy Spirit calls you, say, come to me. Oh, you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling you. Would you like to join this family of faith? Would you like to be saved this morning? Hey, we're going to stand and sing. I'm going to be down front. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you. Let's stand together.